Hello and welcome to Inland Visions. This week, we've decided to escape from the big city and come to an island of tranquility to experience a more traditional way of life. Now, it may sound like we've come somewhere that wouldn't look out of place in a Tolkien novel, but we are, in fact, in the Russian north, and more precisely, Kinozora National Park.
Как у наших у ворот у высоких, ой, лёли да лёли о высоких, разливались и озёра широкие, ой, лёли да лёли широкие, выплывали рыболовы молодые. Молодые, береги себе, ла рыба, береги себе. Ой, лёли да лёли, береги себе.
Some people have said, Yuri, that Russian villages are dying out. But here at Kinozora, it's the opposite. They're thriving. What's the secret?
We created a national park here and did it at just the right time. Now, how do we make people stay here? What can we do to keep the village alive? You need to give people economic motivation, that's number one. Secondly, you make it worthwhile for people to live here. Right now, we've got about 200 locals employed at the national park. They work as guides, park rangers, cooks, and drivers, and they feel that they are needed here, that their creative potential, their professional potential are realized here. That's why they stay. Another important aspect is that we're developing sustainable ecotourism, which helps people economically. Thanks to that, we've got rural tourism going, with the locals supplying produce to the park. Some work as tour guides, like I mentioned. Everyone has got some sort of income opportunity, thanks to the park.
Alexander Krekhalyov has taught himself how to make cheese. He's even built his own workshop with the help of Kinozora National Park. Now let's go and try some of this local delicacy. We've got some delicious-looking cheeses here, Alexander, but I know you're making another one over here. Is there anything I can do to help?
Now we're going to heat this milk to 85 degrees and add some citric acid diluted with water.
Is there anything special about the cows here in Kinozora that makes the cheese so delicious?
The further to the north, the shorter the vegetarian period for grass. So grass accumulates more variable nutrients. That means cheese here is way more delicious than, say, in central or southern Russia.
It looks like it's at 85 degrees C. Now, Alexander, is it time to start making some cheese? And what's in this glass?
It's citric acid with water. Watch the milk curd as I pour it in.
Oh, you can already see the curds coming to the top.
Take this ladle and stir it slowly.
Okay. Yes. Slowly. So, Alexander, I'm sure that every cheesemaker must have their own secret when it comes to making cheese. What's yours, if you're willing to share it with us?
It all depends on the milk. If your milk is good, the cheese will be good as well.
I guess you have to look after your cows then.
Now I'm pouring it into the casts. Would you like to taste?
Okay. Oh, never made cheese before. So you make almost or around 30 sorts of cheese, Alexander. Have you thought of making one for Kinozira? And if so, what would it be?
I've been working on this, but I'm not quite happy with it yet. What I'm trying to achieve is big, round holes with a creamy Swedish taste. Well, I'm not quite there yet.
You'll have to tell us when you make it and we'll come back and try it.
Now I'm adding a pinch of salt.
And when will it be ready to eat?
Well, once it cools down, it's ready to eat. Or we could slice it into cubes and fry it.
Like halloumi.
Like halloumi. That's delicious, too.
Okay. Wow.
Wow. So the cheese that I made... That's delicious. Now, this forest is believed to be sacred. Now, you're not allowed to raise your voice, you're not allowed to swear, you're not allowed to chop trees down or take anything out of the area. So let's meet some locals and see exactly what makes this forest so special. This place is a vivid example of people living in harmony with nature. Local historian and ethnographer Vasily Popov tells us what makes this relationship so special. Vasily, I've lived in Moscow for over 10 years now, but it feels like time moves at a slower pace here. I know you've also lived in the city. Do you feel the same?
Yes, time sure does strange things. There's a certain grace here, a oneness with nature, you know? Everything feels different, a whole other world, really. We live by our own laws. For example, when we go to church, we're Orthodox Christians. But when we head to the lake or into the woods, mushroom picking or fishing, we become pagans. Why? Because the forest has its own rules. All kinds of superstitions come into play. Let's say you're walking to the woods and someone looks at you funny or asks where you're headed. Well, there goes your luck for the day. Might as well turn back. But that's only half the trouble. Worse is if you've already had some luck. Caught a fish or found some mushrooms and then somebody sees you and says, "Wow, look at all the mushrooms you got." Or, "Wow, that's a lot of fish." That's it. You're jinxed. When you're out on the lake, you mustn't anger the underwater spirit. Don't disrespect him. Don't say anything bad. And, well, some folks say it's good to give him a sip of vodka, you know?
Oh, really? So he likes a bit of vodka?
Yes. Pour a little for him, too. Yes, and you should treat him to some vodka to ensure your fishing goes well. If you're stingy, well, sorry, no luck for you. It's happened before, and when it comes to the catch, like when we fish for vendace in the fall, you can't boast. Never say, "Oh, I caught so many." If anyone asks how it went, you should say, "Well, a small fry stuck to my line," or something like that. The same goes for hunting. Take my granddad. He was a blacksmith and a hunter. One winter he trapped a few hares, brought them home, and hung them up to thaw. Well, Grandma, bless her soul, she felt so sorry for the poor bunnies. "Oh, you poor little hares, oh, Lord's creatures, why'd you have to get caught?" Granddad got angry and swore at her. Believe it or not, he didn't catch a single hare for a whole month after that. Yes, superstitions come true. So out here in the woods and such, you simply have to be a bit of a pagan. Of course, there's a grain of humor to it, but only a grain. We really are attached to this place in some way. I'm not sure how to put it in a nutshell. Maybe it's about the feeling that you belong here. When you walk through the village, you greet everyone, "Hello, hello," and they say hello back to you. Even the dogs wag their tails because they recognize you. You feel like one of your own people. To become one of us here, well, you need to live here for starters. Ideally, you should be born here.
Okay, so I will no longer be able to do that.
Because when you're born here, you're immersed in this atmosphere, so you belong by default. I myself was born in the village, but then I had to travel around cities for a while. But I was drawn back. I grew up here as a child, and life in the city always felt like a cage. The apartment is small, and here you've got a vast space stretching in all directions. It's calm and free. In Pushkin's words, there's no happiness on earth, but there is peace and freedom. Peace and freedom is what we have here.
Yeah.
The area around Lake Kinozora is a fascinating place. It's fascinating how such a rich and epic tradition was able to survive in such a tiny place. All the great Russian folk tales we know, Russian bylinas as they're called, you can find almost all of them here in Kinozora. The locals treat their heritage, the legacy of their great-grandmothers and great-grandfathers, with great reverence and love. But at the same time, as you can see, no one here walks around in old-time Russian shoes or clothes. We're not building some kind of an amusement park here. Everything that happens, happens naturally. The idea is that, no matter how times change, from one political or economic system to another, there has always been a traditional way of life in Kinozora.
Elizaveta is what's known as a keeper of local traditions, and I hope she'll share some of them with us.
Elizaveta, fairy tales and folk songs, they're an integral part of local culture. What can we learn from them?
There are so many songs that it's really hard to say what all of them are about. But since the songs are mainly sung by women and girls, there's a female theme. Starting with youth, with cheerful dance songs and those accompanying chorovod, or ringful dancing. Then come the pre-wedding long melodic chants, then a whole cycle of wedding songs, and then other songs that reflect all kinds of events as a woman's life unfolds. Our folklore also includes various sayings, proverbs, witticisms and lullabies, and so on. Баю-бай, баю-бай, мне за байканьё подай, бай-бай, люли-лю. Мне за байканьё подай, подай хлеба каравай, бай-бай, люли-лю. Спіко, милое дитя, к тебе ангелы летят, бай-бай, люли-лю. Тебе ангелы летят, Кате выспаться велят, бай-бай, ну и так далее.
What roles do customs, rituals and traditions play in people's lives today in this area?
You know, although we're all Orthodox Christians, we've all been baptized, the traditions which our ancestors revered for centuries have not disappeared. We are surrounded by nature here. We live among forests and lakes. We keep domestic animals. Many of us have our own bathhouses called a banya. And there's a master spirit everywhere. In the forest, it's the lesovik, often referred to as simply the master. Lakes and rivers are guarded by the vodyanoi, or the water spirit. Even in the barn, there's a mistress, as my mother-in-law used to say, Mother Bolshuha. And, of course, every house has its own domovoy, the master of the home. And you must live in peace with it.
So you call it the lesovik here and not the leshi?
It's not customary to call him leshi. It's considered in bad taste.
Wow, they taught me wrong in university then.
Yes, it's somewhat rude. He's more often called the master. You should respect him. He likes bread. You can also give the forest spirit a shiny trinket or a red cloth as a gift. That's what he likes.
I'll bear that in mind next time I'm in the forest. I was in the forest before, near the Chasovnya, the chapel, and it's believed to be a sacred forest where you can't raise your voice and you can't swear in case you wake the lesser vik and you get lost in the forest. But I've heard that this rule doesn't necessarily apply to women. Why is that?
I think the forest master is male. It's clear enough. That is, first of all, he doesn't see women as competition. And also, as they say, for each woman you wrong, you have to answer before God. God's wrath is especially fierce against those who have wronged a woman. But how can the forest master and orthodoxy go together? There is a contradiction. But let's not forget that the Orthodox Christianity was built on pagan foundation, which has not been completely eradicated. Some customs have been preserved. We celebrate Maslenitsa, the final days before Lent, which ends with the great Christian holiday of Easter. And during Maslenitsa, we behave just like pagans. We worship the sun, bake pancakes, and burn bonfires. The same applies to Ivan's or St. John's Day, celebrated on July 7th. It's actually the nativity of St. John the Baptist, or Ivan Kupala in Slavic tradition. It's an absolutely Orthodox and Christian holiday, the nativity of the forerunner. But again, it's accompanied by pagan rituals. People make flower crowns, jump over bonfires, and search for fern flowers. Take winter festivities, Christmastide. Christmas is followed by the caroling season, when people go from house to house, all dressed up and performing in ways that don't stem from Christian tradition.
So what would Kinozora National Park gain from being included in the UNESCO World Heritage List?
To us, that would be a very important development, absolutely, because we now live in a much more interconnected world, where even tradition and heritage have no borders. Kinozora is definitely one of Russia's treasures. But it's also a treasure for the rest of the world, truly a unique place. Солнышко восходит, прекрасный день весна, прекрасный день весна. Дуняша выходила на крутой бережок, на крутой бережок.